Houston, we have liftoff. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm very blessed to see so many of you. Yeah, wow. God is good, eh? Amen. Well, praise God. How many of you know that we serve a supernatural God? How many of you know that if we accept that we serve a supernatural God, then we must embrace the supernatural in our lives? You see, this is where I don't really know how this works, but a lot of Christians want to serve a supernatural God, but he better not work supernaturally in their lives because then it causes a problem. Then they have this attitude like, oh, I never signed up for this. Well, you actually did. Because we serve the God of signs, the God of miracles, the God of wonders. We serve the great I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And a while ago, we were busy with a series on the sovereignty of God. And I shared with you that when we refer to God as sovereign, we are simply saying that God does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, how he wants. He doesn't need your permission. He doesn't need your permission. He doesn't need your permission. And I know that you think you're very important, but he doesn't need yours either. Amen. And I'm only joking. But the fact is, we sometimes have this thing that we want to tell God what to do and how to do it. We want him to fix our problems, but then we give him a list of what is acceptable procedures in our life and what is unacceptable procedures in our life. Does any of you know exactly what's going on in your life right now? Exactly. Then how are you going to fix your problems if you don't know how things fit together? Shouldn't you then go to the one that sees all, knows all, and can do it all? Yes, you should. And shouldn't you then accept what he gives and how he gives it? Oh, yes, we should. Many times when we have services and the power of God begins to move, we sometimes have people that come to our meetings that are not really used to how the power of God operates and how the Holy Spirit moves. And many times I've heard people get like all upset, like, oh, but God will never do this and God will never do that. Well, let's just stop the bus right there. Who says who? If he's done it in the Bible before, who tells you that he can't do it today? Is God suddenly impotent? Is the devil suddenly so much more powerful? No. In fact, nothing has changed. God is still God. He still sits seated on the throne. The devil is still the devil, and he's still the roaring lion prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And like God dealt with him back in the day, so God still deals with him today. Let me read you a scripture. It comes from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 23 and on. Jesus went throughout Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom. Okay, I know I've said this many times, but it bears repeating. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, is good news. If you have a problem, there is a solution in the kingdom of God, and that is the good news that needs to be spread. How are we going to get people to convert to serving a God that can fix one problem, but there's 100 others that he cannot apparently solve because he doesn't understand them or he doesn't have the power or whatever the case might be? Would you see that as good news? No. That wouldn't be good news. That would just be news. But he says, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Now, I want you to notice what went along with the teaching of the good news of the kingdom. Look at your neighbor and say, prepare yourself for some good news. Ah, listen to this now. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom of God and healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. Okay, what disease did you come here today with? What sickness did you come here today with? I have some good news. The healer is in the house. He's not me, but his name is Jesus Christ. And even though some people say he's dead, show me his grave because he is risen. And he's just as alive today as he was 2,000 years ago. And you know what? The diseases and the sicknesses that he healed way back when, he still heals them today. The question is not, does God still heal today? The question is, does man still have faith in God to heal today? And that's where the problem lies. Now, he healed every disease and every sickness. So what is the first portion of good news? If you've come here and there is something wrong with you, then the solution is Jesus Christ. The good news is God still heals today. Amen? We have to come to a place that we trust Him and that we have faith in Him. Because never forget, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to have faith. Unfortunately, the world at large has become faithless. The world can have faith in worldly ways. We have faith in pills. We have faith in procedures. We have faith in doctors. We have faith in specialists. When you tell somebody to trust in God and be prayed for, they're like, are you mad? Are you crazy? You don't understand. I need this. I need that. No, we need faith. You know, back in the day, a lot of people went to Jesus because there was no pills. There was no nothing. They were forced to have faith. Today, we've got too many Plan B, Plan C, Plan D, Plan E, and we put our faith in that instead of putting our faith in God. And we need to come to a place that we have faith in God. And, you know, the interesting reality is, the Bible tells us in certain areas, Jesus could perform very few miracles because the people believed not. In other words, the people had no faith. God, even though He is omnipotent, battles to work in the life of an individual that has no faith. So faith is something we must have inside. We must work, strive and work towards building our faith. Now, news about Him spread all over Syria. Why did the news spread about Jesus? Well, if you think about it, let's be honest. This was a time where if you had certain sicknesses, like leprosy, for example, it was pretty much a death sentence because there was no way to cure it. Not only was it a death sentence because you could ultimately die from it, but it was also a curse upon your life because you were not allowed to interact with the population. They had an unclean place somewhere outside the city, and they all had to huddle together there, and they all had to suffer there. You did not have interaction with your friends, your family. If you had a wife, she wasn't allowed to come close to you. If you had children, you couldn't see them anymore. What kind of a life is that? It's a horrible life. Yet when these people met Jesus, what did He do for them? We know that He healed them. Now, when you see that kind of miracle, something that you know for a fact there is no cure for, and Jesus walks up to these people and He heals them, are you going to keep quiet? If you see a crippled person that you saw grow up with you in your neighborhood, you know that they weren't able to walk. People had to carry them everywhere they went. You know how much they battled. You know how much their family struggled. And suddenly this oak comes running up and down the street telling everybody, praise God, glory, hallelujah. Jesus healed me. The Son of God healed me. You going to keep quiet? No, you're not going to keep quiet. So why did this news about Jesus spread over the whole area of Syria? Because people were touched. People were excited. People were freaking out because they saw the impossible made possible in their midst. You know, for God, the Bible says nothing is impossible. There are a lot of things in this world that we deem to be impossible. And we have said, oh, but that's impossible and that's impossible. Yes, from a worldly point of view. But when you allow God to come into the situation, now you can override the impossible. Because the impossible is made possible by God coming into that situation. And this is the thing. People that had impossible situations that were resolved, boom, like that, with a word, with a touch. It was sorted out. So people were running. You can't believe it. This oak that grew up with me for 20 years, he couldn't walk. Suddenly he's running around praising God. There's a man called Jesus. Now, what would happen? Today we're in Springs. Let's say Nigel is just around the corner here, am I right? let's say in Nigel, there was a revival that broke out. The power of God moved. There was, on one night, somebody with a blind eye, both eyes blind, they were opened. Three people got out of a wheelchair. Two people that couldn't speak suddenly began to speak. Four people that had cancer, boom, the cancer actually fell out of their bodies. It was lying there on the floor. Somebody would born without fingers, boom, suddenly the digits are there. And they can move them and they're like all happy. Will the news hit Springs by the end of the day? Well, there's a lot of people in Nigel that have friends in Springs. It's not like in those days where you had to run to tell people. Now you pick up the phone. That's it. That's it. But the word is going to spread. And the good news is going to move like wildfire. So, he was healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people, and the news spread over all Syria, and people were brought to him who were ill with various diseases. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, why was Jesus swamped? Why was there so many people? There was a time where we read that Jesus actually told the disciples, get me a boat, because these people are going to crush me. These people, I can't move, I can't breathe. Get me a boat. And he actually had to move away. Now, that is the amount of people that came to Jesus. But why did they come to him? Because they heard the good news. Because the good news spread all over. The God of miracles is operating through this man. Healing is taking place. Good news. Now, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering with severe pain. Okay. Do we still have people today suffering with various diseases? Well, you name them. People have meningitis. People have flu. People have rabies. People have a whole bunch of stuff that we can catch, eh? And there's still a whole bunch of stuff that medical science can't cure. Or if they're going to cure it, it's going to cost you a fortune. And for a lot of people, those medicines are out of reach. What is God's heart for his children? Well, if you have a child that is suffering, what do you want to do? You want to ease their suffering. Is God any different if he's called our father? Doesn't he operate in the way of a father? Doesn't he care for his children? Yes, he does. Nothing has changed. God still wants to heal these people. And these people came to Jesus because they heard. They also had things that was probably incurable in the day. And I like the way he puts it. People brought to him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering with severe pain. Some people have pains in their bodies. They don't know why. Maybe back in the day they didn't understand what arthritis was, or a collapsed disc, or sciatica, or you know what. There's a lot of things that can give you a lot of pain. Some people back in the day probably suffered from chronic migraines and they didn't understand what it was. But the fact is, he healed them. And then it gives us something else. Those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed. Those having seizures, the paralyzed. And he healed them. I did speak about this a couple of days ago, or a couple of weeks ago. But I want to mention it again today because it bears repeating. I want you to notice that when they speak about the demon possessed, they are adding it to the classification of people that needed to be healed. Do you notice that? There is no distinction made between the people that were so-called demon-possessed, the people that had pain, the people that had various diseases, the people that had various sicknesses. Why? Because the manifestation of most of the demons that Jesus dealt with here, if not all of them, was to cause some kind of pain or sickness or infirmity or crippling. You know, the Bible tells us that there was a woman who was a daughter of Abraham who for, if I remember correctly, 18 years had been bent over. And her problem was caused by a spirit. A crippling spirit is something that is very powerful that enters the body of a human being. Its purpose is to deform the individual. It can deform your flesh. It can deform your bones. It can deform any kind of thing inside of you. It can deform your intestines. And it is powerful. And people that battle with that thing suffer. Now today, we will give medical reasons why the person, why their back is all cocky and skew, and why their feet are all in, you know, facing in the wrong directions, or whatever the case might be. But in Jesus' day, it was simply seen as demonic possession. And how do you deal with demonic possession? Can somebody help me? Okay. I'll tell you how you cannot deal with demonic possession. Okay, firstly, let me just quickly clear something up. Where the New International Version has translated it as demonic possession, later translations have maybe changed it a little bit, because Christians cannot really be possessed. Okay? I have to talk about these things because it confuses people. The word possession implies ownership. Can you be owned by the devil and owned by God at the same time? No, you can't. So we can't refer to it as possession. But these people are under the influence of a demonic entity. Their bodies are suffering because, if you want to look at it, it's like a parasite has attached itself to the body. The parasite is not controlling the whole body, but it is influencing a certain area of the body. Okay, so these demons see them as parasites. They had to be dealt with. Now, here's how you cannot deal with demonic problems. Pills don't work. Therapy doesn't work. They gotta be cast out. Demons don't respond to medicine. Do you understand that? Demons don't respond to medical procedures. It does nothing to them. You know, some of you grew up and you went through what we refer to as the trade. Some of you, yeah, are tradesmen. You went through your appyship, your apprenticeship, and you learned a lot of things. And one of the things they used to tell you all the time is, you must use the right tool for the right job. Okay, you don't take your file and use it as a hammer, because the second time you go bam, it's actually going to go click, and the file is in two pieces. That's not what it was used for. But if you use it for the right application, it is brilliant. Now, this is the same thing. When you have demonic problems, running around looking for medical solutions is inevitably going to fail, because the right solution is not for a pill or some therapy or something to that effect. The spirit, the root cause of the problem, must be pulled out. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so listen to this. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. Ultimately, all of these people were healed. So, what were the demons in these people's lives doing if by the time they were gone, they were healed? It's not that difficult to figure out. Help me out. What were the demons doing? Well, the demons had to be causing some kind of sickness or infirmity when, if they were gone, the result was, I am now healed. Probably there was a couple of spirits of arthritis that left. Suddenly the people's fingers began to move. Probably the demon of migraine came out of somebody, and suddenly they're like, oh, I feel better. Maybe there was a blind person, because we have it in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus cast a demon out of a blind person and they could see. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes we don't realize that the enemy can sometimes have power over our bodies, which causes either severe pain or sickness or infirmity or any one of these things mentioned here. And then the solution would be confront it and do what Jesus did. Did Jesus have any problem casting demons out of people? To Jesus, it was like second nature, because this is the good news of the gospel. You got a parasite, referring to a demon. God has a solution. It can be removed from you, and then its influence will be broken. Now, they say the more things change, the more they stay the same. Today we are in the same boat as these people. Nothing has changed. Everything is the same. We have a lot of people that are trying to deal with spiritual problems in a natural way. In other words, the sickness or the infirmity in the person's life, whatever that might be, blood pressure problems, some kind of a blood disease, crippling spirit sitting on the back hunched over or back running skew or whatever. People are trying to sort that out in natural ways. And it will not work. Because you have to apply the right procedure. When there is demonic influence in somebody's life, the demon has to be cast out. Do you understand that? Now, I would like to call Wilson. Where are you? Get me the other microphone ready, please. I'm going to call Fatima to come forward because I would like to share something that also comes from her testimony. That now, you can sit now. I'll call you now. To show you how practically all these things actually fall into place. Some of you have come to our meetings before and you have seen people will come forward and they will tell me that they are battling with X, Y, and Z. Let's call it severe chronic headaches. You know, if you've ever battled with chronic headaches, you will understand how debilitating that can really be. You don't concentrate, you can't focus, your eyes see spots, etc., etc. And sometimes the only thing you can do is lie on the bed. And even if you close your eyes, it doesn't take away the pain. It's a really horrible thing. You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? But then the interesting thing is, many times when we pray for people, when I lay my hands on them and we begin to pray for them, something begins to happen in their bodies that is clearly not normal. They begin to shake. Often their eyes begin to roll in their head. And many times something begins to scream out of them. What is that something? It's a demon. It's an evil spirit. Now, sometimes we have these people that have been battling with this stuff for years, many, many years. And they've gone from doctor to doctor to doctor, and they spend probably hundreds, if not thousands of rands a month to try and deal with this thing. When God can sort it out in an instant. But you got to understand how these things work. Why am I talking to you about this? Because this is where we have a very big problem. You see, apparently, there is this rumor that Christians can't have demons. And because Christians can't have demons, we must be mad and crazy to even suggest that there can be demonic problems in the lives of Christians. Well, you see, here's where I have a big problem with that theology. The people we pray for here are Christians. The people that come here come and they get converted. They become children of God. But then even though they are children of God, when we pray for them, especially when it's about certain things, wow, lo and behold, there's an explosion. And it turns out there was a demon. And sometimes the thing will actually tell me, I've been here for 20 years, I've been here for 30 years. The things are sometimes very cocky. They tell me straight, I've been here for 30 years and I'm going nowhere. Well, we'll see about that. They leave. But why do they manage to stay there for such a long time? Because in the church, sometimes we are of a culture that we are untouchable. The devil can't come near us. We are children of God. The Holy Spirit is inside of me, so the devil can't be with me. And I want to tell you, that's just a bunch of nonsense. Because the Bible warns you, the believer, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Give the devil no place. You see, here's the thing. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you haven't given the devil place. Many of us have given the devil place. I shared the other night a testimony that I want to share again because it fits in with what we're going to do today. Many years ago, I was preaching in a church where there was a gentleman that had asthma. And he came to church. I prayed for him. Something happened. He felt better. For a couple of months, he didn't have an asthma problem. Then suddenly, boom, asthma. He came to the church again. He asked me to pray for him again. I prayed for him. Something happened. For a couple of months, it went better. Next thing he knows, asthma attack. And then, I believe it was his wife or his son. I can't remember which one it was. Came to church one night and said, please, we don't know what's going on with my father or my husband or whatever. You've prayed for him a couple of times and there is a definite change after you've prayed for him, but then it looks like whatever it is comes back. And right now he's been in hospital and he's not doing very well. He's battling with his breathing and he's in a really poor state. I said, okay, fine. I'll go and see him and I'll pray for him at home. I went to see him and I went to pray for him at home and I said to him, you know what? The one thing that bothers me is that it looks like your condition through prayer goes away, but then it comes back. And then it goes away and then it comes back. Now there must be a reason for that. And I began to ask him some questions. And I asked him, roughly when did your asthma start? Because he wasn't born with it. He developed it later on in his life, in his early 20s. And I said to him, was there anything that happened in that time of your life that was supernatural or weird, maybe a big disappointment or something really bad, a traumatic event that happened? And he spoke about a couple of things, and then he mentioned something very interesting. I think he was in his early 20s, 20, 21. He was going to go on holiday with a group of friends. I think there was four of them. They decided to go down to Durban. And back in the day, being of the generation where it was all about make love, not war, blah, 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 he used to smoke some things of dubious origin. Some of that stuff. And they were stoned most of the time, having a nice time, having a good jol. And one night, somebody had the bright idea. I think he might have had the bright idea. Why don't we have a seance and then we summon the spirit of Jimi Hendrix? Okay, for them it was a bright idea. It's actually a very stupid idea. But anyway, and they did that. They played Glassy Glassy. And they called on the spirit of Jimi Hendrix to come and speak to them. And lo and behold, the glass began to move. And a spirit spoke to them. And the spirit told them, I am the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. Because Jimi Hendrix had died a couple of years before. And I will talk to you, but I will talk to you 12 o'clock tonight. That would already have scared me. I would never have gone back. But anyway. So 12 o'clock at night, they all excited. They're now going to have a lack of powwow session with Jimi Hendrix. They all get together and the thing tells them they must go and stand in the mirror and he will reveal himself to them in the mirror. So they went and they stood in front of the mirror and they were expecting to see the image of Jimi Hendrix that's going to come and talk to them. And as they stood in front of the mirror and they were waiting, the mirror shattered into a million pieces. And all of them went at the same time and they ran. And then they realized that whatever they're talking to here is definitely not Jimi Hendrix, because then things began to move around in the house. Okay. So as he was sharing with me what happened, I said to him, you know what? I do believe that that is probably where you opened the door for this thing to come into your life. He says to me, nah, man, that's rubbish. That happened like, what, 30 years ago? Surely it can't be. I said, hey. If you call them, they will come. And if you haven't dealt with them, they will stay. They're going to go nowhere. And one thing you have to know and understand about demons have to work behind the scenes. If a demon is too blatant and in your face, people will run around and find a priest to exorcise them. It's counterproductive. So here's what they do. They come into your life and probably for a while they'll just hang around and check out what's going on in your life. They will look for weakness because the devil preys on weakness. Now we're all different. It might be easy to create asthma in you. It might be impossible to create asthma in her, depending on how we are and what weakness is present in our body. You might get migraines. You might get an ingrown toenail. You might develop piles. And I don't want to be in your shoes. Okay. I'm not cursing you. I'm just giving an example. Okay. I cut that off. So, here's the thing. Poke looked at me. He said, do you really think that that's possible? I said, I have a very strong feeling that that's where your asthma came from. I said, I think what we need to do is we need to pray. You're going to confess to God what you did. You're going to renounce it. And we're going to ask God to heal you. He said, okay, fine. He sat on the chair. I began to lead him in a prayer of renunciation. He hadn't got halfway through the prayer when he started getting an asthma attack. Now you must understand something. Prayer does not cause people to get epilepsy, does not cause people to have heart attacks, does not cause people to get asthma attacks. But if there is a spirit involved that did something to that effect, that spirit will cause it. So in other words, the demon that was with this man did not like the fact that now we're going to pray because now we're touching the root of the problem. And this man was lying there clutching his chest. He suddenly couldn't breathe. His eyes were rolling around. And I had to pray and pray and pray. And eventually with a whole big hoo-ha, this thing came out of him. Do you know that after this thing came out of him, for the first time in, I don't know, probably 25 years or 30 years or whatever, he could breathe normally. For the first time in all those years, he could, and he could fill his lungs with air. And he told me it felt like something that was always in his lungs that he perceived to just be the way that he was had left. He could feel it had left his body. Here's my question. Was he sick? It's a difficult one to answer because I would have to say yes and no. He had the symptoms of, but the root wasn't sickness. The root was a spirit that came into his life because the Bible warns us, give the devil no place. You know, just because we're Christians doesn't mean we always do clever things. Sometimes we do very stupid things, even though we should know better. Doesn't the Bible say, my people perish for lack of knowledge? Have you got my microphone ready? All right, can you just bring it around for me, please? My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's written to God's people. God's not talking about the world. He says, my people. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes, even though it's in the Word of God, we don't always know the Word of God very well. If I had to ask you, who of you knows the Word of God very well, I would be surprised if anybody really raised their hands. Because we know a bit here and we know a bit there, but we don't always know it very well. And when we deviate from the path, here's how I want you to picture life. The Bible talks about the wide road and it talks about the narrow road. Which road are you supposed to be on? Okay, if you thought you're supposed to be on the wide road, which is the road of partying and having fun and doing stupid things, you've missed the plot. That's not where you're supposed to be. God called you to, yeah, we have to pray for you. You're right. God called you to walk on the straight and narrow. Now, let's say, you can't see them, but there's some tiles here. That gives me boundaries. There's a boundary on the right and a boundary on the left. Let's say I'm supposed to stay here on the straight and narrow. Here's what I want you to picture. The Bible warns us that there are serpents and scorpions out there. We have been given the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Now and then a serpent or a scorpion might be on the path and we have to trample it. The problem is when we go off the path. On the path, there's a few. Off the path, there's hundreds. And the moment you go off the path, all of them are going to start coming for you. And eventually, they're going to sting you. Eventually, they're going to bite you. Eventually, their poison is going to influence your life. So, news about him spread over Syria, and people brought him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan all followed him. Jesus made a lasting impact in people's lives. God wants to make a lasting impact in your life. Fatima, can I ask that you come and stand here with me, please? I asked her if we could share her testimony with you because there's a lot of very practical things that you can learn from the road that God walked in your life. Mm-hmm. When I met you the first time, you had a lot of problems.
Yes.
Just to recap, share with the people where your life was at that point in time. Remember, just before I met you, what was going on in your life?
To be honest, a lot of things I don't even remember where he was. But he was in
just
a
whatever
30s.
You do remember, yeah.
He was bad. For some weeks I couldn't work. Some days I don't remember. I was a mother and I had children. I was a very sick person. A lot of things.
Okay, from what I remember, back in the day you used to have, you used to call them fits.
Yeah.
Okay, today you know that it was actually demonic manifestations that happened in your life.
Yeah.
And these things would actually control your life. These things would cause debilitating circumstances. You couldn't go to work. Sometimes you were out of it for 3, 4, 5 days that you couldn't do anything.
Sometimes for weeks.
Yes.
I couldn't do anything.
Yes. You also had a lot of sickness in your life.
Yes.
What were some of the things that you battled with back in the day? Can you remember?
I do diabetes. I had shingles. I had a lot of myriad problems.
Okay.
A lot of diseases in my body.
Yes.
Chronic headaches also.
Okay.
Epilepsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then God came into your life.
Yeah.
Did things change for the better?
It did.
Ah. Now, today I spoke a little bit about the difference between healing when it's a physical problem and healing when it's a demonic problem. You experienced both, am I right?
Yes.
A lot of the healing that came into your life actually came because God took spirits out of your life and immediately things fell into place.
Yes.
I want to focus on something very interesting that happened in her life. How many of you have heard of standing in the gap? Okay. I have something that I want to say about standing in the gap, and it's probably not what you want to hear. You know, a lot of people have read in certain Christian books that you should stand in the gap for your friends and your relatives and people, etc., etc. The idea being the person is going through stuff that they can't really bear, so you put yourself in their place and now you're going to bear this problem for them, etc., etc. Here's the thing.
I did stand on a gap for a lot of people.
You did, didn't you?
I used to read the books of Rebecca Brown. And she says we must stand on a gap. And stupid me, I did stand on a gap for a lot of people.
Okay. Let's explain to the people what happened because of that. Do you mind?
No.
Okay. She had certain problems that no matter how many times I prayed for it, it never seemed to go away. Now, if God is always healing, or delivering, and you see a pattern, and suddenly there is one situation that doesn't want to work that way, you must understand, this is something different. There's something that I don't know. Again, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, in the time that I was praying for her, I was preaching in a church one day. It wasn't in Johannesburg, it was actually in the Free State. And a young man came up and he asked me for prayer. And I prayed for him and a demon began to manifest. And what he had, if I remember correctly, he asked me to pray for him for headaches, migraines. And as I prayed for him, this demon began to manifest and the oak began to growl at me and spit at me and all sorts of stuff. And his tongue began to go like a snake. And I commanded the demon to go, and the demon kept telling me, he won't go. And I kept fighting the spirit, and the thing wouldn't go. And, you know, normally you can feel, it's like we're getting somewhere, boom, the thing is out. In this case, I just got the very strong feeling, I am getting nowhere with this demon. Now, if you're not careful, the devil will mess with your mind and he will make you think like, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong. But I know I can't be doing something wrong because I've prayed for a couple of people, a whole bunch of people, and there was no problem getting the stuff out. What's different here? And I confronted the demon and I said to the demon, I command you to tell me why you will not leave. And he just looked at me and he started laughing. He said, because I have place. And he wouldn't say anything else. I said to the guy, listen, yeah, man, the demon tells me he's got place. Are you involved in anything stupid? Are you doing things you shouldn't be doing? He said, oh, no, he doesn't believe he's doing anything wrong. And then God gave me a word of knowledge. It's when you suddenly get information from a supernatural source, this time being God. I would say the gift of the word of knowledge operated. And this thing came into my mind. He stood in the gap for somebody. I said to him, listen, yeah, I just want to ask you a question. Did you recently stand in the gap for somebody? Oh, yeah, yeah, he did. I said, who did you stand in the gap for? No, he stood in the gap for his mother. I said, why did you stand in the gap for her? Oh, because she's always got migraines and headaches and this. I said, oh, interesting. You stood in the gap for her for these things. Now you've got the same things. A demon manifested in you and it's telling me it doesn't have to leave. It's got place. I said to him, you know what? Come to think of it. The power that this demon have is in your mother's life, not really in your life. You're putting yourself in that place, but until your mother doesn't renounce whatever power this thing has over her life, why does it have to go? Its power is with her, not with you, but you've put yourself in her place. He said, oh, I never thought of it like that. I said, I tell you what we're going to do. You pray with me and we're going to say to the Lord, Lord, we don't want this whole standing in the gap thing. You retract whatever you said and please, Lord, take me out of the gap. He prayed that with me. The moment he prayed that, the demon that was in him left. The same demon that kept telling me he won't leave, he won't leave, he won't leave, left like that. Boom. Why? Because he suddenly had no more place. And then I couldn't wait to get back because I thought of a couple of things that had happened in her life where for some reason I couldn't seem to deal with the stuff at the time. Monday morning I phoned her and I said to her, listen, yeah, can you come and see me at the office? So she came and saw me. I said to her, listen, I want to tell you what happened this weekend. I was preaching out of town and there was a guy that came forward and I prayed for him and this is the situation. The demon wouldn't leave and his circumstances didn't change until he got out of the gap. I said to her, have you ever stood in the gap for somebody? What did you answer me?
I said, yes, for a lot of people.
Ooh, she stood in the gap for a lot of people. She had a lot of people's problems all sitting on her.
Because I read books that it says we must stand in a gap for people. And I didn't know that was wrong. You know, that also is wrong. The books out there, they don't tell you the truth.
I agree 100%. You know, I can only tell you what I experience practically and what God has taught me. But I want to tell you something. If you've ever stood in the gap for somebody today, you better climb out of that gap.
But
because you can't deal with
when
that
I
problem.
Read the, when you show me the scripture, when I read the scripture, he didn't say that we should have put ourselves in a gap. It made a lot of sense to me afterwards.
I'm going to explain something about that now. Who did you stand in the gap for?
Okay, I stand in a gap for my brother that he was going through a bad time in his marriage. And
you stood in the gap for both your brothers. You stood in the gap for your first brother because he had severe marital problems.
Yes.
You stood in the gap for your other brother because he had severe financial problems.
Yeah.
And then you stood in the gap for?
I stood in the gap for my late sister. I asked the Lord what she's going through. She must take care of her and give it to me because I could handle it more than she could. And I stand in the gap for my dad that he was dying. I asked the Lord to help me to deal with these problems. And
your
I said
father
to the Lord,
at that stage had cancer.
My father had cancer. My father had a lot of problems. He had shingles. And from one week to the other, I had shingles.
Okay, look at this now.
It's true.
This is God's honest truth. You stood in the brother for your... You stood in the brother.
The gap.
You can't stand in the brother.
No.
You stood in the gap for your brother that had financial problems. Tell me, where was your finances at that stage?
Very bad.
It was like their finances dried up completely. It was like some big vacuum cleaner came and just sucked it all out. It was like being in the twilight zone, going from being fairly okay to suddenly there's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, then you stood in the gap for your brother.
This wasn't all the time, everything at the same time. It was a period of time.
Yeah, it was over a period of time. I understand.
I stood on the gap because my younger brother was going through a lot of marriage problems. Mm-hmm. And I stood in the gap for them, for the couple not to get divorced. In the end, they did get divorced.
Because you can't change what's going on in their life,
no,
can you?
No, but I stood in the gap for my brother.
And then what happened?
And then I had a lot of problems in my marriage.
Ooh. And she did. I was there. I had to try and counsel. I tell you what, it was horrible. The fights was something chronic. Okay, and then you stood in the gap for your father.
For my dad, yes.
Your father at that point in time was dying.
Yes.
He had cancer. He had three different types of TB.
He had HIV.
He had HIV.
Yes.
He had all sorts of stuff.
Yes. And my dad had very bad shingles. And the suffering is a very bad, death is very painful, shingles. And my father also had diabetes. And I did stand in a gap for my dad's pain because I could see how bad my dad he went through every day. And I asked the Lord, please help me to help my dad.
Okay, so how long after you stood in the gap for your father did you develop the same symptoms as him?
A week later. I had a pain in my back.
Yeah.
And I thought, it looks like a scratchy pain. A pain that when I breathe, I couldn't handle it. And I didn't know until one day I stand in front of the mirror, and when I looked, I saw it was a mark. And I thought, what the hell is in my back? And then I went to the doctor. I thought it was a eczema. And then the doctor, he sent me for blood tests, and it was actually shingles. I was actually shocked because I thought shingles is with people, they are very sick, like cancer, HIV, but I had not of that, and I had shingles.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, out of nothing, you developed two problems that your father had.
Diabetes and shingles.
She, in that time, she told me she doesn't know what's going on. Her eyesight is getting worse and worse and worse. She can't see. And that's one of the symptoms of diabetes. When she had herself tested.
I went for a test because I had a lot of things I used to faint and a lot of crazy things happening with me. And then when they took me the blood test, the doctor actually found me. I was 26. My sugar level was 20. It was very high. And the doctor actually said, this is bad. And yeah.
Okay. And then you stood in the gap for your sister, and she used to have epilepsy, and you suddenly developed epileptic fits.
Yeah.
So I sat down.
Okay, the first person that I stand in a gap for, it was for my sister.
Was for your sister.
We're talking about gap, but this didn't happen everything the same time, the same year. It happened quite
a period of years
and times.
But you never made the link.
No, I never made the link.
You didn't make the connection.
No.
Okay, so I sat her down and I explained to her. And let me try and explain to you too. If she opens a door for the enemy, what's going to happen?
He will come.
Okay. Jesus warns us that the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour, whom we must resist, in a sense, also protect ourselves from. Okay? So she opened the door. Let's say whatever it is she did, she opened the door for a spirit to come. In this case, a spirit of sickness. It can affect her through epilepsy. It can affect her through shingles. It can affect her through pain and suffering. It can affect her through constipation. You know, it can do a lot of things that cause problems in your body. Now, this thing is sitting on her. Now, here comes Sandra. Sandra wants to help her friend. Come stand with me, Sandra. Because Sandra cares for Fatima, Sandra wants to help Fatima, and now she's going to pray and she's going to say, oh Lord, I want to stand in the gap for my friend because my friend is battling severely and I can see she's not coping and she's taking a lot of strain. I want to stand in the gap and I want to help her. Now spiritually, she's putting herself in this place. Over here is a spirit of sickness, a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of pain, a spirit of suffering, whatever the case might be. But who opened the door? Fatima did. If Fatima opened the door, only Fatima can close the door. Sandra cannot close the door. Do you understand? The person that caused the thing to come must renounce it. Because the power is with the person that caused it to come. The power is not with her. Now, the devil's not stupid. Okay, if you want to suffer, I'm going to make you suffer. And don't think for one second the spirit that's with her is going to leave her. No. Devil's not stupid. Demons only leave when they get cast out. So she's still got her problems, but now she is getting some other problems based on what power she gave to the devil. She can now renounce it as much as she wants. The door was opened by her. The door can only be closed by her. So now she prays against this stuff. She fights this stuff. It never wants to go because she has no authority to make it go. She's the one with the authority to make it go between her and God. So now for the next 3-4 years, spirit of sickness, spirit of suffering, spirit of pain, spirit of torment. But you see, we don't always realize where these things come from. Because it also doesn't, in Fatima's case, some of the stuff started almost the next day. Sometimes it takes a couple of months because the devil is not stupid. He doesn't want you to put two and two together and figure the stuff out. Until Fatima doesn't deal with what she caused in her life for the spirit to come, it's not going to leave her. Now, what happens if she never wants to deal with it? What happens if you stand in the gap for some unbelieving person who's still going to curse God, who's not interested in righteous living, and you've caused their problems to come into your life? How are you going to get rid of them? Okay. Thank you. You can sit down. You and I prayed that day. I said to her, this is what I want her to do. She's going to pray a prayer with me, and she's going to renounce the spirits of sickness.
We made a list, actually.
We made a list.
Yeah.
It was quite a long list, wasn't
it?
Yeah. We made a list, and I said to her, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to lead her in a prayer. She's going to ask God to forgive her for putting herself in a place where she shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
She's going to say to the Lord, Lord, I now renounce whatever came into my life through the door that I opened by standing in the gap. And I want you to help me. I want to climb out of the gap. Can you remember what happened when we prayed?
Something very horrible happened, but I don't remember everything.
She was standing, and I said to her, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, in faith, climb out of the gap. As she was taking that step forward, I can't remember how many. One demon after the next started screaming and coming out of her. The process probably took a good 20 minutes to work itself out. Everything that came into her life by standing in the gap for other people actually came out. How long after that did your shingles clear up?
I think the same week they clear up. And I never had shingles again.
And your sugar diabetes?
Gone.
Okay. And the headaches?
Now and then I still have, but when I stress, but not no, what I added.
But not what you had back in the day, hey?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, all these symptoms. Oh, and financially?
Financially we did well.
Things came back up.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Can we give the Lord a big hand? Now, interesting. They will tell you that there's a medical reason why people get shingles. And they're not wrong. It's true. Probably something to do with the nervous system, etc., etc. They will give you good reasons why people have epilepsy. Problems in the brain.
But they couldn't give me a reason why the shingles disappear all of a sudden.
No, they couldn't.
No.
And they couldn't explain to you why the epilepsy left all of a sudden. Now, here's my question. Was her shingles shingles?
No.
Or was a demon? Was her epilepsy epilepsy? No. Or was a demon? Was her sugar diabetes? No. It was a demon. But she did have epilepsy. She did have shingles. She did have diabetes. But after she was delivered,
she was healed. Leukophase is a tablet that you take for the 500 milligrams twice a day. I was taking 1,000 milligrams of Leukophase a day. That's all bad.
I'm not a doctor, but that sounds heavy.
Well, if people don't know Leukophase, they know that's for diabetes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, what it says here in the Bible is proven by what she went through. Listen to this. Listen to this. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and every sickness amongst the people. News about him spread over all of Syria, and the people were brought to him, all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them. A lot of what we read here, she had. God healed her. But a lot of what happened in her life wasn't just healing. It was the power of God that came upon you and removed the spirits that were causing the problem. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. You can sit down. I'll take that. Georgie, just put there for me, please. Well, bless God. You know, if you were wondering whether God still does what he did in the Bible, I want to tell you something. God still does what he did in the Bible. We need to come to a place that we put our faith, our hope, and our trust in him. Speaking about standing in the gap, let me just give a bit of clarity here. Yes, there is a scripture in the Bible where God says, where will I find somebody to stand in the gap, blah, blah, etc., etc. Now, go read the full passage. And then you're going to see that what God is talking about, he refers to the teachers in Israel who were supposed to teach people his law, and that the law would be like a hedge of protection around the people. And because the teachers of the law were not doing their duty, the prophets were not prophesying the truth, there was no protection. There were gaps in the wall. What God was calling for is for people to begin to preach the word in truth. He wasn't asking people to put themselves in a spiritual place of somebody else. That's not what the Bible is talking about. So you don't put yourself spiritually in somebody else's position, because then you're going to call all their problems to come to you, and then you can't deal with it because the power lies with that person, not with you. And if you're sitting here today and you have actually been standing in the gap for people, that should give you an indication as to why you got a lot of problems in your life, because what is in their life will start happening in your life. I understand that, yeah. Yeah.
After what I went through, I want to scream to the world to say,
don't do it, that, yeah. Well, now we're doing your testimony, and hopefully a couple of people are going to listen to it and realize, this is what I have done all these years with people that have been standing in the gap. I make them renounce what they have done, confess it to God, ask for forgiveness, renounce it, and take a step in faith and say, I climb out. And 9 times out of 10, the people suddenly begin to manifest. Things come off of them, and the symptoms immediately stop.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Because God is good. Amen. Did anybody learn something today?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I'm going to, yes. 57.
Sorry, everybody. This morning someone came to me and asked me to please to announce this. I'm not going to mention names, but this is apparently the second time this happens. It happened to me once or twice. And that fridge there in the back, some people, they put cold drinks there. And for some reason, some clever people, they think it's all right to go and fetch other people's cold drinks. Do not do that, yeah. If you need it, you come to us, you ask, we don't mind to share it. But you do not steal anything from anybody. Don't go to the fridge and fetch things that are other people's things. Please don't do it. Thank you.
Anesh, why are you sweating? You've been taking other people's calls. I'm just joking. Yes. Yeah.